This podcast replay, it's brought to you by Miami's own online liquor store, Liquor Split. Download, then tap that app.
Oh, yeah.
And get your favorite liquor delivered to you for just $2.99. No risk, no drinking and driving. Tap that app with Liquor Split.
What are you waiting for?
There he is, Sir Anthony Chang. How are you doing, sir? Good morning.
Good morning, Big O. How are you?
I am doing great, a lot better than the Miami Heat at this point in time. We got problems, dude. We got problems. And listen, I'm not into this whole, oh, we should have played Duncan. He can't play defense. I would have played Caleb Martin more than Duncan, and he can play defense. But I still don't think one guy was going to make a difference. They couldn't defend.
Right.
And it wasn't about not shooting enough. And, you know, Bam had 21 points, but it's still kind of, you know, a quiet 21, and we really can't see him up against Embiid the entire time because he'll foul out right away. As you saw that at times when they had him on, he picked up those fouls. So, you know, this whole thing, oh, Spo got out coached. No, I just don't think Spo has any answers for Embiid. So I ask you, how in the hell do they get out of this? Because I don't see the toughness, and yeah. I don't see the answers in stopping Embiid right now.
Look, this is a different series than the last time we spoke. Joel Embiid changes things dramatically. Before this series, when we didn't know of Joel's injury, I thought it would be a seven-game series. I think this is a very competitive series when both teams are healthy. But I think the simple answer here, and I don't know if you agree with this, Big O, I know it sounds simple, but I think it would make a huge difference, is to make more threes. They're shooting an uncharacteristic percentage from three. I mean,
you got to defend too, dude.
They got to defend, but in game three, wow. They allowed 99 points. I mean, that's in the playoffs against a quality offense with two top, you know, offensive players. That's not bad. Last night, not great. James Harden got hot. He hit more of his step back threes. Philly is shooting almost 50%, 48.5% from three in the last two games.
All five guys in double figures, bro, where Miami had two guys in double figures.
Yeah, they're shooting the ball well. The Heat, again, they were the best three-point shooting team in the regular season percentage-wise. Last two games, 21.5%. These last two games have been among their worst three-point shooting performances of the year.
And by the way, it's not like they're all contested or anything.
Exactly. So
they're open shots.
Right. Sure, Philly's making it tougher with Joel Embiid out there. They can play more aggressive on the perimeter. They're taking away the corner threes, which what Miami loves, those corner threes. They haven't shot many of them the last two, but they're still getting quality looks, ones they usually hit. And look, despite all that, they make if they shoot just 30% on threes the last two games, they might win one of those games. They were in both of them. I know it turned out to be double-digit losses, but it was a possession game early in the fourth quarter in both of those games. So I think it's pretty simple. They got to start hitting threes. If they shoot 21% on threes for the rest of the series, there's nothing they can do. They will lose the series. So I think that's the biggest thing right there.
Yeah. Now, here's the other thing, and it sounds a little simplistic, but maybe it's the best way to attack these guys. You can't stop Embiid, dude. Bam's not the guy. He's not at that level to stop him, and he's not even Alonzo Mourning. And Alonzo Mourning was an undersized defensive stud, okay, which Bam is not. Bam is not a guy like that. He's not going to be blocking shots left and right. It's just not who he is. You know what I mean? So let Embiid get his thing. But, man, you've got to do better at defending everybody else. And if Caleb Martin is going to – dude, I've had burps longer than Caleb Martin's played yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to spend your fouls, bro. But get your ass on Maxey and Harden and all. Stop everybody else. You can't stop Embiid, but you have to stop everybody else. Is that the better way to focus it?
I mean, look, the Heat are going to play defense the way they played all year. They played Philly the same way pretty much the entire season when Joel Embiid's in there. They're going to front them with whoever's there in their guardian, whether it's P.J. Tucker and Bam Adebayo, and they're going to bring help from the back line of the defense whenever he gets a post pass and just try to make it tough on him. And Embiid did play well, but he had 9 points after the first quarter. It's not like he had a huge game. He scored 15 in the first quarter and then 9 points the rest of the game, which I think most of those came on free throws because he had a good amount of free throws there in the final three quarters. Yeah. So they held him for Embiid Sanders. They held him in check. It was James Harden. It was a 3-point shooting that hurt the Heat last night. And Embiid has a factor in that because he does draw so much attention inside. So and it is tough.
And he facilitates too. He opens it up for them.
Yeah, it opens it up. So I see what you're saying, but I think Philly shot the ball really well these last two games. They're not going to shoot 50% from three for a sustained stretch. So I think you hope that a lot of those threes that were going in Philly don't go in Miami. A lot of this comes down to shooting. Like, I know it's not a sexy explanation, but it really is a quote-unquote make-or-miss league. It just is. And the 76ers made a lot more shots than the Heat did. It was a different story in Game 1 and 2. In Game 1 and 2 in Miami, it was Philly that was shooting 21.9% on threes in those two games, and the Heat were shooting well. It just completely flipped, and obviously the results flipped. So I don't think the Heat should overreact right now to what happened the last two games. I think, again, if they make more of those shots at the same that they got in Games 3 and 4, the result could be different. They could be up 3-1 right now. It just comes down to hitting those shots. I think that's kind of what it is.
But okay, would you change anything defensively in the rotation to get better on the perimeter? Is my point. Like Caleb Martin, why? Yeah. That's the guy I would play. You know, I think it's lazy to think Duncan when he hasn't been consistent enough to bail you out as it is offensively. But then on top of all that, he's a liability defensively. So I want Caleb Martin out there more. You know what I mean? So what adjustments would you make on the perimeter side of all of this?
I mean, that's one thing, but I think the bigger adjustment for me would be to not switch off Embiid as much. I know Bam picked up in foul trouble. That's a problem if you keep Bam on him most of the game.
Yeah,
You hope that Deadman is in there in Game 5 and he can play some minutes to take some of those fouls. But I think the switching of every action where Strus is on Embiid down low. And the Heat are at a huge disadvantage. Or Kyle Lowry's on Embiid down low because the Heat switched. I think that's something that he had to look at. And in the second half, they did switch less. Bam spent a lot more time on Embiid. They pick up fouls. So that's the problem. Bam's going to have to deal without fouling.
That's the problem about all of this is that he's not crafty enough to be able to defend without fouling.
Yeah.
And Embiid knows that he can get him into foul trouble. So he gets him in a foul trouble. And that's where, when I look at Bam, I don't know, man. I wish he would. He's got Zoe there, bro. But maybe he's just not Zoe. It's just,
he's a
Zoe is so good as an undersized center.
Yeah.
And by the way, he played in an era of giants.
Yeah.
Well, Bam, and he was elite.
Bam is a different type of defensive player. I would say he's, honestly, I know you think it's blasphemy, Big O. I think Bam is a better defensive player than Zoe. He's not a shot blocker.
Not in the paint.
A shot blocker. He's not even as close to a shot blocker as Zoe. But he will stay in front of you. He's quick enough. He's versatile.
Yes.
That's his
perimeter.
And even against Embiid on the perimeter, he can bother him. But he's gonna have to do without fouling. I mean, he's considers himself the defensive player of the year. He was fourth in the running. He's gonna be all defense whenever that's announced. He has to take on this challenge. And he has to do it without fouling, and he has to spend more time on Embiid. I don't think that he can switch as much as they have the last few games and, have a mismatch consistently with a smaller player on Joel in the paint. That's just not a formula for success. So I think Bam is going to have to spend more time in Embiid. They're going to have to switch less with him, which is unlike the Heat. They like switching Bam. That's the biggest part of their defense. But I think Bam's going to take the challenge and really try to slow him down. Moving forward.
Some guys say, no, that your savings should be in the backup. I don't think so. Although I will say this, I would love your saving to play the Michael Pittman role. You know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're saying there.
Hammer, yeah, bro, spread six freaking chops. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then get the hell out, kid.
Six fouls.
Six
fouls in 2 minutes.
Yes. Just hammer the crap out of Embiid a bunch of times and all that just to wear him out a little bit. But that's about the only thing. It's just right. They don't have an answer for him, dude.
No, and nobody does. I mean, nobody does. He was a scoring champion this season as a center. I guess Jokic is going to win MVP. I guess we learned that this morning. But Embiid was probably second in voting. Nobody has an answer.
You're going to need traditional centers, the guys I grew up with, right, to cover Embiid.
And even then, he's so skilled that
it might not be. No, but Olajuwon, right, David Robinson, Tim Duncan, there are certain guys that in the history of the game could be with him there, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And give him trouble. But the guys in today's NBA, nobody's built like that anymore. Dude.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
Have those guys.
It's tough. You got to hope the guys around him, if you have Embiid and the people around him are shooting 50% on threes,
yeah,
you know, at that point, that's not great. You're going to probably lose that game more often than not. So you have to hope those around him, like Harden, for instance, when he scores 16 points in the fourth quarter, hits tough shots. I mean, some of those shots, they were contested. It's almost like you just throw your hands up and say, that's James Harden hitting a contested shot. But other ones, that he gave up some open looks that they just can't do, you know, when you have Embiid in the paint.
Yeah, it's been ugly, man. What are you working on there in the Miami Herald so folks can check you out, my man?
Well, to go along with our conversation, I'm have a story going up shortly on this, the Heat's poor three-point shooting, how uncharacteristic it is, kind of maybe the different shots they got, how the 76ers are – because I think part of it is – Heat missing shots, but I also think the 76ers have done a pretty good job taking away some of the looks Miami's used to. So just a deep dive into that and how important that will be moving forward, obviously, for the Heat to need to make more threes. And also Kyle Lowry. We're going to be awaiting that update around 5:30 tonight of whether he could
play. I wasn't big on that contract, but I thought that contract would be a bad contract on the back end. I didn't think it'd be a bad contract in the first year. Holy
crap. It's bad timing for this injury.
By the way, how does a team that demands everybody to be in shape did not do it with him? And if this ends up like this where he breaks down, do they tell him in the offseason, hey, sorry, dude, you got to get back into shape and you got to be in a Heat shape. You're not in Heat shape. I'm just wondering because as you get older, carrying more weight is not a good thing.
Yeah.
Trust me, I know this.
Yeah. And for the most part, before this injury, he's been healthy all season. I think he had only missed one game because of an injury all year before this hamstring injury.
Yeah, all that stuff was personal, actually.
All that stuff was personal issues or sick or, you know. He had only missed one game because of an injury. Just bad timing. He's never had a soft tissue injury before in his career. But he is getting older, like you said. So maybe this is a wake-up call for him. But, you know, he's been able to stay relatively healthy for most of his career, and especially this season. It's just really, really bad timing for this hamstring injury because hamstrings are tough. I mean, as we see, they're, you know, unless you're fully recovered, you could tweak it again very quickly.
Anthony, one of the things that I talked about going into this series for the Panthers and for the Miami Heat, they're playing against two teams that happen to be very good on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Sixers are 27-14. The Capitals are 25-10-6 on the road. So that's the other challenge for the Heat that we talk. Oh, well, they're coming back home. Well, be careful. Sixers are pretty good on the road. And now with Embiid, you wonder.
It's not guaranteed. Sure. And as you know, game five, it's not a must win for either team because, you know, it's the best of three at this point. But that's going to be whoever wins that game, that's a big one. That's a big one. So yeah, they're going back home to Miami. You play for home court. The Heat has an advantage. They're favored in the game, but it's not guaranteed against a really good 76ers team that has Joel Embiid back.
This could turn out to be the fraudulent season between the Heat and the Panthers. That's scary stuff, dude. One's a number one seed in the conference. The other's the number one seed overall, and you don't go far in the playoffs. Bad look.
We're not there yet, though. We're not there yet. Let's see. Let's see what happens in the next few days. But
I'm just saying, that's what you want to avoid, is what I'm saying.
For sure.
That's what you want to avoid. And the Panthers are in a bigger hole than the Heat. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about a first round exit here.
Yeah. And they already lost a home game. Right.
Yeah. They already lost a home game. So not good. We'll see tonight what they're made of. Because if they go down 3-1, like I told you, the Capitals are really good on the road. They already stole one at on the road. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Ooh, be bad. All right, Anthony. Good stuff, my brother. Appreciate you.
Always, Bigo. Thank you. See you in a couple days.
Thank you. Yes, sir. That is Anthony Chang and our Liquor Split Miami Heat report. Yes, sir. There he is, Anthony Chang, ready to rock and roll with us here on the program in our Liquor Split Miami Heat report. How you doing, my man? How you feeling? You feeling good?
Doing good, Big O. Back in Philly, like I never left.
Yes, exactly. Did Kyle Lowry's hamstring make the trip with you guys?
He is here. He will not play. Obviously, he's been ruled out for game six. But he is here. He's obviously from Philly. The team thinks that just having him here on the bench helps them. Just, you know, with his, he was leading huddles during game five. His basketball IQ, helping Gabe, you know, when he's on the bench. So he is here, but he will not play.
All right, tell him not to wear sweatpants and all that because he looks like me then. It's not really good. It's not a good look. Anyway, all right, so let's get into, are they better off without him right now? Because really, I mean, the way that he played the other night.
Right.
In this case right now, you know, a hobbled Lowry maybe is not as sharp as a sharp Gabe Vincent.
Yeah, I think with the version of that we saw of Kyle Lowry in Philly, I think they're better off with Gabe starting right now. I mean, obviously, Kyle was not effective. The hamstring was still bothering him. He didn't shoot the ball well at all. Defensively, he wasn't himself. So, yeah, I think you got to get him closer to 100%. And even Spo said it a few days ago before game five. He said, you know, Kyle will go out there and compete and he'll battle and he'll play through the pain. But at some, you know, a certain point, there's diminishing returns. So I think the Heat knows that. I think Kyle realized that by trying to go out there and seeing, you know, seeing kind of how much he struggled. So I think, yeah, I think right now with this version of Kyle, Gabe is the better choice at this point. We saw that a few nights ago. And I think the Heat are now 5-0 this play, you know, in the postseason with Gabe starting while Kyle's been out.
By the way, you can download the Liquor Split app on iOS or Android. Search for it, Liquor Split. Flat fee of $2.99 delivery, whether it's your beer, wine, vodka, you name it. Don't drink and drive. Have it delivered to you. No hidden fees. LiquorSplit.com or go to your favorite app store and download the Liquor Split app. All right. Anthony, I was laughing at everybody thinking that Duncan Robinson was the answer and everything else that was going on with three-point shooting and all that. And I came out really strong on it. I said, you guys are lost. It's all about defense. The defense will trigger the offense and will level everything off. Was there a wake-up call? Because we have now watched them play. And here's my theory also, Anthony. I don't think they had a lot of desperation to play great defense like they were throughout the season in the last 10 to 20 games of the season. They were kind of coasting almost, and they kind of let up. And in this series, we hadn't really seen Heat defense. Now we're starting to see that abusive Heat defense. We saw a little bit of it towards the end with Trey, right, with Atlanta. Yeah. But now it seemed like they figured out and said, all right, we got to play – tough D all the way around. And that really, it wasn't so much a three-point shooting. It was the defense that changed everything in that last game. Do you feel that this was something of maybe the start of something for them on the defensive side of the court here in the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, the three-point shooting was better, but it wasn't outstanding. And it was just closer to their average, which is kind of what they needed, right? I mean, they can't shoot 20% from three all the time. But defensively, I mean, they've been a really good defensive team all season. They've had a few lapses in the playoffs, but for the most part in the playoffs, they've been really good defensively too. But I think the adjustments they made entering game five are really the biggest difference. They didn't switch as much. Bam spent more time on Joel, which you and I talked about. We needed to happen. Bam spent more time on Joel. He didn't, those soft switches were small.
But I was worried about foul trouble, but to
he
his
did a great
credit,
job. Yeah.
To his credit, when he would challenge shots, he made sure he had a presence, but didn't get too aggressive to get too close and put himself at risk. So you can tell that he was thinking about how exactly to defend Embiid. Yeah. It wasn't just naturally aggressively going after him.
He was great defensively in game five. PJ Tucker also fought through screens. He didn't switch as much with James Harden. PJ spent most of the game on him. And then they moved Jimmy to guard Tyrese Maxey. Jimmy spent most of the series on Tobias. And switching on to other guys, they said, we're going to try to stop Tyrese, put Jimmy on him, and it worked. So I think those adjustments really were key. We'll see what Sixers have, you know, in their pocket tonight for game six. You know, I'm sure they'll make some adjustments back. But I think that was really interesting because the Heat are known to switch. They haven't really, you know, strayed away from that scheme, but they did it in game five and it worked.
You know, and I thinking about that, when you were talking about that, it makes so much sense because Maxey's the guy that can consistently beat you from the perimeter and hurt you badly, whereas Tobias Harris is a streak shooter, if anything, from the outside, that he's got to be on a roll to really do some damage on the outside because he's really more of an inside-outside player, not really a pure shooter. So why not take out the pure shooter and take your chances that Tobias isn't going to get hot all of a sudden from outside?
And Tobias is you know, he's a good spot-up shooter, and he scores a lot in the post, you know, post-ups. And you put Max is a big body. He could try, you know, is Max a better defender than Jimmy? No, obviously not. But he's a big enough body where he could hold his own, I think, against Tobias in the post and at least bother him a little bit. But I think moving Jimmy to Tyrese made a lot of sense. I didn't even think about it before that game, but it made a lot of sense. And it really worked to shut down Tyrese, at least for one game.
Yeah, there's a reason why Spo's a hell of a coach, right?
He's a pretty good coach.
Yeah, dude. Okay, so let me ask you, why not Caleb Martin instead of Duncan Robinson? Because, you know, man, I know he's a great kid and all that, but he's a weakness on defense, and he's so incomplete on offense, whereas Caleb can do it all. And I saw that there were a couple minutes for Duncan, not that impressive. Caleb Martin is the guy that I would like to see more because I think he fits more. Now, is it because he's not 100%? Is there something going on there? Or why do you think he chose to give Duncan a little more minutes than Caleb? Not that it really, in the end, would make much of a difference.
Right. But. And I don't have the box score in front of me, but I think they played like similar minutes pretty much off the bench. But I would say I think it's because they wanted to, with the shooting struggles the last two games, they wanted to see if they can get a spark from Duncan. Obviously, he made 1-3. He didn't provide that big of a spark, but they wanted to try it out at least, give him a few minutes. And I think they need to improve the spacing around Jimmy because they're really making it tough on the Heat shooters. So I think Spo wanted to put an extra shooter in the rotation. You know, again, it didn't matter in the end. Duncan really didn't do much. He made 1-3. But I wouldn't be surprised if we see Duncan again tonight. For the same reason, I think they want to make sure they put maybe an extra shooter out there so they don't have the same issues they had in games three and game four.
You sense that these guys want to finish it tonight?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I think they, you know, again, Boston-Milwaukee I thought was going seven, but now with Milwaukee winning in Boston, that series could end in six. I mean, they're going back to Milwaukee. Bucks could take care of business. So the Heat, I think they got to try to finish this off tonight so that way, you know, the Bucks don't have that rest advantage for the next series if the Bucks are able to finish it up tomorrow.
Who the hell has green hair, bro? I mean, give me a break. You get what you deserve. Marcus wasn't very smart with the ball at the end there, and that happens because you're a goofball with green hair, bro. Come on. You get what you deserve. Green hair. Who wants green hair? Come on.
That was a hell of a play by Drew. Let me tell you. He made some great defensive plays at the end.
Two steals from his
ass. Strip and the block. Drew Holiday is a very, very, very good and underrated defender.
He was like, where did the ball go? Where did the ball go?
And clean. 100% clean.
It was beautiful, bro.
Yeah.
He schooled him. I mean, there's no way Marcus Smart slept last night at all, bro. There's no way that guy slept last night. Yeah. Well, maybe he did with a bottle of whiskey from Liquor Split. He ordered it, didn't have to drive, $2.99 flat fee. There he goes. You know, download the app. Anthony, as always, my brother, I appreciate you. What are you working on the Herald so folks can check you out before game time, my friend?
Yeah, so a lot of people passing by saying hi to me. Yesterday I wrote a story on just how great Jimmy's been in the playoffs. He's been arguably the best player in the playoffs so far. The advanced metrics say he's been the best. You look at even just the regular box score, standard box score stats say he's been one of the best. He's really elevated his game to another level. Again, for the second time in 3 years in the postseason. So check that out. And then tonight we'll obviously have all the game coverage, takeaways, game story, and a column from Greg Cody. So just go to MiamiHerald.com and we got you covered.
It's all about Jimmy Verhaeghe or Carter Butler, however you want to do it. But those are the two money men right now for those
two popular names. Two popular names right now.
Those are the two money men right now, man. Follow him on Twitter and Anthony_Chang. Catch his work at the Miami Herald, and please subscribe to the Miami Herald and support all the great writers there that they've got in the Herald. Appreciate you, my brother. We'll catch up next week.
Thanks, Big O. Appreciate it.
You got it. There you go. Anthony Chang and our liquor split. Oh, Miami Heat report.